The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed in this episode are that of the guest and host and do not necessarily reflect the values of sponsors or other associated organizations. Welcome to the Parental Compass. I am your host, Bobby Williams. You know the drill. Like, share, subscribe, leave a comment. We're on Spotify. We're on Apple. Look us up. Before this work that I'm doing now, I worked as a foster care case manager. Oftentimes, the young people that we were working with had bounced between maybe 10 or so different foster homes. Our role was to come in, build a team around them, and help stabilize them. A common thing that seemed to always happen with these kids was that the more you could connect them with community and activities they cared about, the more stable they tend to become. And I think that's universally true for children everywhere. So that's the topic today. We're talking about connection. My guest is Sally Franson, who does a similar role in the community. She is a WISE facilitator, and I've worked with Sally for many years. I've seen firsthand the impact that her work can have, and she has a lot of powerful ideas to share. So we're going to get into our conversation, but first, here's a quick word from our sponsor, Amerigroup. We're all filling a lot of different roles in life, parent, coworker, friend. Well, Amerigroup offers whole care for the whole you. It's all covered, doctor visits, prescriptions, extra vision benefits, and even help getting your GED. Visit chooseamerigroup.com/WA.
I think we're always, as people, as humans, not just kids, but adults, we're always seeking for a place where we belong. And we're going to seek no matter what. And so the more that we can look at, as families, we can look at our values and what our family stands for, the more we know where to connect, where to reach out and help children form healthy connections. What I've seen over time is that people grow most in connection with others. There's some transformative kind of synergy that happens when we reach out to others and we see what, you know, some things might work, some things don't, but we really discover our own unique interests and strengths and who we are.
That's an interesting point that we kind of build as people through our relationships with other people. And that's kind of how we grow. That's kind of what I'm hearing you say.
Right. And It is. It's a big piece, because I think with this past year, with the pandemic and all, I think we're all looking to how do we make connections and what does community mean? And I think I've seen everyone, myself included, there's been times of, you know, reaching out and then great times of retreat, reaching out, retreat, and trying to redefine what this means in a world where there's so much more technology and Zoom going on. And at the very same time that's happened, I've seen more families walking down the street together. I've seen more people going back to simpler things as they're Zooming and creating larger communities through, you know, lack of borders with what the internet can provide. I've also seen neighbors become more important and little interactions and traditions like gardening and walking and biking. And so it's been a really fascinating time to reflect on what does community and connection look like for each of us.
Well, that is an interesting point that, you know, maybe 10 years ago or so, technology was seen as almost an anti-social thing of like, oh, my kid just wants to play video games. But now with Zoom hangouts and stuff, that's been for a lot of people the only choice. And that's the new being social in a way.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And we can also see, you know, what do we want from that? More people are doing, telework, and more opportunities are opening in that way. And yet we're still needing, you know, it's not enough for a lot of us, you know, the Zoom connection isn't enough.
Yeah.
And so I like to think of the connections and like spheres. Like when I think of community, like when I am reaching out, I'm thinking of this much bigger, the spheres of community that I interact in. And when I retreat, I see how that small inner circle, how much that matters to me and how much a lot of that is in my day-to-day life and how to preserve those kind of relationships in a time where there's so many unknowns.
Yeah. Well, I think about youth, and a common thing I hear from a lot of parents is just like, my child does not want to be social. They're kind of a loner or something. And the question is, how do you get a kid that might be considered antisocial to want and actually be social? Like, you assume they want to be social, they just don't know how. Or do you have any ideas of small steps families can take to help their child with that?
Right. First I want to acknowledge that, you know, when we talk about being social, there's different levels of being social, and we all have different levels of comfort. And I totally would want to respect, you know, every individual person's, you know, level. Sometimes it's one-on-one, but I always think starting at home, really trying to understand your child, taking the time to carve out, you know, new little traditions, new things, like maybe 5 minutes, like, you know, for 5-10 minutes, we're going to explore this new thing. We're going to cook together. Or what are the interests of the child? You know, if we have a hard time getting them off screens, you know, maybe for, you know, 10 minutes on Sunday, we're all going to sit down and read. You know, what are we modeling within the home? What are we exposing them to? And think small. You know, I think sometimes we get overwhelmed by totally transforming things, but transformation takes a lot of time, and it takes a lot of listening, and it takes a safe space and trust. And what, you know, I think often what may have worked for one child within a family doesn't work for another. And I always think, how do we discover it together? Like, let's, you know, how do we follow the interest of that child and sit down and just little baby steps? You know, totally. Do they see you, how you interact with your neighbor? How do you interact with the people in your life, whether it's just going to the store? You know, these small exchanges and exposures to things that may be of interest to them.
Yeah. You touched on a few things I think are really interesting. One is the idea that parents themselves need to be social or have passions, but that's kind of hard in the world where a lot of how you might think of your identity is just being a parent. Like, taking the time to have your own life can be kind of hard, but why does it matter?
That's something I'm super passionate about when I meet parents. I'm always so interested in who they are outside their role as parent, you know, and what were their dreams? What were their interests? What, you know, a long, long time ago, and drawing those out again, because parents do get overwhelmed. There's so much. It's such a big job. But being able to bring some of those things back, you know, and even if it's just 10 minutes of journaling or playing an instrument or creating art, you know, just, you don't have to totally turn everything upside down, but it's just remembering those things that define who you are and sharing that with your child. And that way, as children develop interests that may be the same or different, you can learn from each other back and forth. But I think it's so important for parents to remember their whole people. Mm-hmm. And it's really important for them to have a support network and interest and things that they, you know, keep them healthy and whole.
Yeah. Two running themes that always come up in this show are parents modeling the behavior they want to see in their children, and children having some kind of passion or some kind of spark in their lives. And that just makes such a huge difference.
It really does. It really does. And it can be, you know, it can be anything. I think sometimes we're so close to it that we don't see it, you know, because some of the little quirky passions you might not pick up on if you're seeing it day after day after day. You know, I think of a youth that I've worked with over the years who has always been completely fascinated with any kind of insect. Mm-hmm. You know, in your day-to-day life parenting, you might not pick up on that as being something really worthwhile, but this has been an ongoing interest, and wherever you go, we're picking up insects, you know, and collecting them and learning about them. And that, you know, is such, that can be developed in so many different ways and connected in so many different ways. And so really honoring and nurturing these things.
Totally. I remember just being a teenager and being pretty depressed in general. And I think part of that was just the teenager experience. And part of that was just me and my life and, you know, what I was going through at the time. And I was lucky that I had music and was able to channel it into that. And that gave me some connection. But what about that kid who is just really depressed and it's hard to get them to engage in very much, or they just don't have the energy to want to do it in the first place? That seems like a really difficult place to be.
It really is. And that's, again, I think where baby steps are so important. And there's so many different scenarios in getting them connected to people that can help, you know, when we get to this point. But I think, you know, going back a little bit and going back to like the younger years, I think that's one of the real foundational reasons for, you know, figuring out what your family stands for, you know, figuring out, you know, giving some solid places, whether it's music, singing, you don't need things that cost money, singing together, cooking together, you know, doing some kind of physical activity, whatever, but giving those foundations so that when we do get to our teen years, there's something to ground yourself and come back to, even as you're trying to discover other things, because the teen years they are so hard. I mean, they are so challenging. And I'm sure it's, you know, one of the things that drew me to this work as well is memories of the teen years. Mm-hmm. And for that reason, that's another reason I think community and connection is so important, because as parents, they're not always going to be able to reach in those years as kids are pulling away. But if we can have like other adults in their lives, and often that's from our spheres and our circles and us building good relationships with teachers and other people who are connected to them, you know, because those influences are huge. Kids can't navigate. Their brains aren't ready to navigate everything on their own. All the messages culture is sending them, social media is sending them, and they need people to bounce these thoughts off with.
Yeah. And just having like organic mentors in the community, because you're not going to get everything from your parents, you know, you're not. And so, yeah, just thinking back to my life again, I remember knowing older artists or a friend of my parents I was cool with. How do you think you can help cultivate organic mentors in your child's life, or at least set them up for that a little?
That's such a good question. And I think it's something, you know, I have struggled with, and we all struggle with. And I think one of the reasons I'm in this and why I've found, you know, my role in my job is connecting is so great, because it's, you know, I can reach out for others. It's always easier to reach out for others than it is for yourself. Mm-hmm. And that includes parents. So I think even if you have a friend, whomever you can bring in to help you, but to really think of where are those natural places, like is your child interested in mechanics, and maybe you don't know anything about mechanics, but you can call a friend of a friend of a friend. I've been overwhelmed by people's generosity and willingness, you know, to say yes and to sort of step in and at least, you know, expose people to things in a safe manner. I remember a youth who was very interested in martial arts and called a martial arts place. And before you know it, the whole family was attending the gym of this person. Mm-hmm. And this just happened over in isolation from one person being interested in saying yes and getting involved. And so I just think about how, if we go out of our comfort zone and go out into spaces and see things and talk to people and see where that spark lies, that synergy, there's big possibilities there.
Totally. What's the danger in isolation or too much isolation? What's the problem with it?
Well, I think there's plenty of studies that have shown, you know, increase in depression, anxiety, you know, mental health, and also being connected to our physical health as we get older, you know, and has lifelong kind of dangers of that. And, you know, today before I was talking to you, I went for a walk, which I do a lot. And I'm always, the joy I get when I just walking around, say, the neighborhood and the things I see, you know, I just walked by a school that had an art project up that said hope in really big letters. And there was families outside playing paddleball. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and it's just even that much to me is a spark. I didn't talk to anyone. I didn't do anything, but it's like getting into our communities and feeling a sense when you're out there, you are connected, getting outside, you know, talking to people a little bit, even, you know, just baby steps that way.
Yeah. This is kind of a little bit of a side note, but do you think there is, I read this article about how when kids are young, it's good to not overbook up their summer because there is value in kids having a little time to be bored and explore their minds. Do you agree with that at all? Or what about that?
I do. And I think we need to reflect, you know, before we know where to go and reach out. Because if we're just running at, you know, an incredible pace, you know, we're just busying our lives and our times. And I'm reading this incredible book right now. Actually, I'm listening to it on audio, and it's called Wintering. And mm-hmm. it's all about the different winters of our lives. And I think we're all experiencing one this past year collectively.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's both in the literal and figurative sense, but it's about how those winters are a place for transformation. And I guess that's how I sort of think about these for parents and caregivers, these times of great change is going back and really figuring out what's important, you know, what's important to you in these quiet times, and to be able to have these conversations with your children, you know, what's important to them, what's important to you. What do you guys stand for as a family? And what do we want our lives to look like as we, you know, as the world continues to change around us?
Totally. Well, it just seems like the cure for depression seems to be community, you know, being connected and have some sense of purpose, something to do with yourself.
Right. Yeah. Right. That's a big thing. I think providing opportunities for youth and is huge, because you do need something to be passionate about. You do need, you know, you do need to have things to do. And I think when we don't have a purpose is when we can kind of get lost, and we can kind of, the winds of change can kind of throw us in different directions. But I've watched people, like you talk about your music, you know, for other people, it may have been art or reading or some thread throughout their life that has gotten them through the difficult times, because we're going to have them. Everyone's going to have them. But what is that thing you can come back to?
Totally. Well, Sally, just thank you for taking the time to be here with me. Do you have any closing thoughts or ideas you want to share with anyone listening?
Well, you know, thanks for having me. I think this is so great that you're doing this. It's just one more resource, you know, for parents and families out there in a time of great change. And, you know, just, I guess what I tell my friends and everyone, and I try and tell myself, because we seem to be hardest on ourselves, but just, you know, be gentle with yourself now. And I do hope people feel they have some agency in creating new forms of community as we move forward, and to really be reflective and thoughtful as we do that, because we don't want the systems changing us. We really want to be having systems that work for youth and families. And that makes a healthier community.
Wise words. Well, thank you, Sally.
Thanks, Bobby.
Thank you, Sally. I'm just proud that we're both working in the same community, trying to make a positive difference. It's great having you as part of this overall team that we're all in. So that's our show today. Thank you, Family Education and Support Services. Thank you, Amerigroup. And we'll see you next week on the Parental Compass. Peace.